This is a Main Hustle Media podcast.
All the way from the A, you listen to my favorite lesbian on BRQ.
Hey, stay locked in with your favorite lesbian on Black Radical Queer. Yo.
Hey y'all, this is Javia Nicole, aka your favorite lesbian, and you're listening to Black Radical Queer Podcast, our stories on our own terms. Black Radical Queer is a podcast that explores the intersection of Blackness and queerness. Hi everyone, this is Javia Nicole, and I just want to take a moment to give you a little bit of information about Black Radical Queer, what that means, what it means to me, and why it's important that you tune in. So Black Radical Queer, the whole concept is really just about the intersection of those identities, being Black, being a radical person, being woke, I guess you can say, and being queer in a variety of ways. And so for me, all those things do really speak to my intersecting identities. And I know that, of course, I'm not the only person. So with Black Radical Queer, what I wanted to do was not just share my story, but share the stories of other Black queer people, and for us to be able to do that on our own terms so that we don't have to have someone else telling those stories for us. And really, too, to give a broader perspective on what queerness is, what it looks like, what it means to people, how folks define it for themselves, and how that is literally colored by our Blackness. So that's really kind of why BRQ is my baby, why I think it's really important. And I know that if it's something that I need, that I'm not the only person that needs it. So I hope that you will tune in, you'll listen, you'll really get to know not just me, but all the wonderful guests that have agreed to share themselves and share their stories with us. So you can really just get a broader perspective of how Blackness and queerness intersect, whether you're, you know, Black and queer or not. I think it'll still give you a fuller understanding, and you'll be introduced to a very wide spectrum of amazing people who all have unique stories. So I'm excited about it. It's my baby, my brainchild. And I'm really just excited for you all to get to know what Black radical queerness is to me, and kind of what that looks like and how it applies to a lot of people. Hey y'all. So welcome back to Black Radical Queer Podcast. So what you just listened to was actually the very first thing I ever dropped that said anything about Black Radical Queer, that put it out into the universe. it was a promo. So I've talked about on previous episodes, and Charmaine and I have talked about on previous episodes, kind of like the conception of Main Hustle Media and the various podcasts we have gone on, and kind of me coming to her with my idea about BRQ and et cetera. So the promo dropped in June 2018. And, you know, it was just a short thing with me saying like, hey, this is what BRQ is. It talks about the intersection of Blackness and queerness. It explores kind of what queerness means and that type of stuff. So I wanted to circle back to that because, you know, I did kind of like a specific episode or a special episode or whatever when I hit 10K. And my intention was to do that when I hit 20K because, you know, I guess maybe to some people, this is not a big deal. But to me, being just a regular chick who does this and who stepped out on a limb to create this thing and put it out into the world, it's exciting to me, and it still blows my mind. And so, you know, I was like, when I hit 20K, I'll do another like special episode, just kind of, you know, reflecting on the podcast, etc., answering questions or that kind of stuff, because that's what I did for the 10K. Now, mind you, when I said that,
I did not anticipate hitting 20K this year. So podcast launched in June of 2018. I hit 10K downloads in, I think it was April or May of 2019. So this year. And then I hit 20K in October. So I'm late. it was May. I hit 10K in May and then I hit 20K in October. And now, mind you, this is also considering the fact that I completely skipped August. I didn't release any episodes in August to give myself a break because it is a lot, you know, doing weekly episodes. I still had a pretty good listenership in August. People went back and listened to previous episodes, so that was dope. And now I'm at about 21K. So I totally missed 20K, y'all. October is just a busy month for me and I'm just kind of behind. And by the time I saw the number, I had already surpassed 20K. So I didn't get to like hit it spot on like I did with the 10K, but it's all good. When I said, oh, I'll do a special episode, I did not think I would hit 20K this year. I thought it wouldn't be till next year because it took me 10 months to hit the first 10K. But then I got another 10,000 downloads in 5 months. So I didn't anticipate that happening. So that's also kind of why I'm behind, because it just snuck up on me a lot more swiftly than I anticipated. But it's all good. I'm grateful that, it's not a problem. That's a good thing to happen for it to take half the amount of time for me to get, you know, for my downloads to double. I think is just amazing. And it is motivation to keep going, even as it's getting more and more difficult. When I first started this podcast, I was working a job that was not full-time hours and it was pretty flexible. So I was able to kind of maneuver my recording around my work schedule. And I had, you know, sometimes where I didn't work because a shift would get canceled or there were no shifts available because that was the nature of the job I was working. But since then that has changed. I have shifted into a position that is like a regular, like 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever type of position, full-time hours. So I still have some flexibility, not nearly as much as I used to, because, you know, I do have those full-time hours. So over the course of this podcast, you know, things have gotten busier. And so in the beginning, I was able to kind of just watch the growth very, I don't know why I want to say meticulously, but that's not the word that I want to use. I was able to watch the growth of BRQ very closely. I was able to like see every little milestone, every 1,000 downloads, every 100, like every little thing I was able to really just pay attention to. And now, you know, I don't check the stats as much as I used to, or, you know, it used to be where Charmaine would send me the stats like pretty much weekly, sometimes multiple times a week. But now we're both busier, and we were already busy at that time, but we're busier than we were. So she's not sending me stats every week. And I can check them myself. I'm not checking them, every other day or anything like that. It's just like when I think about it, when I get around to it, then I check the stats and I'm able to see this growth, you know. But, you know, I don't get to monitor it as closely as I used to and see every incremental, like, you know, advance or whatever. Nevertheless, it's still exciting. And, you know, it blows my mind to think that I've been doing this for over a year and to see how far that it's come in that time frame. So something that I mentioned in my promo was that one of the things that I will talk about on the podcast is like what it means to be queer. Just kind of like this idea of queerness and what it means to me. And so what's very interesting to me is that even that for me has transformed over the past year and some change. How long has this is November. So year and 5 months, even kind of like my conceptualization of my queerness and what I think about when I think about my queerness and all of that, that has continued to grow over the time of me doing this podcast. And part of that is because of the because of the podcast. Part of that is just like I've been able to engage with more people. I feel I can provide something to folks, but I also feel like I'm understood by a greater variety of people. I have a lot more. I feel like I've been exposed to more variations of queerness in the process of doing this and all that kind of stuff. So when I think about the concept of queerness, when I first created this podcast, I was thinking about it mostly from the perspective of sexuality and sexual orientation. Not completely, but mostly because that was the bulk of my queer experience. I'll say at that time, that was the bulk of my queer experience that I was really cognizant of at the time. I've had more, like, that's not the entirety of my queerness, but this is something that, you know, has been kind of unfolding for me more and more over the past year and a half, couple years or whatever. So now when I think about my queerness and what my queerness looks like and what it means to me and kind of the things I take into account, I also very much factor in my gender. And that's not something that I did as much in the past. So, you know, even when I created that promo and I'm saying, you know, hey, that's part of what I'm going to talk about on the podcast and explore and everything and talk to other people about the whole concept of queerness and what it means to be queer and kind of like who falls under that umbrella. What it even means for me personally has transformed over the course of doing this. So it still very much centers my, like my sexuality and my sexual orientation and just kind of how I navigate those things, but it also includes my gender. And then when I think about my queerness too, is not only queer in terms of sexual orientation, also just like, in my politics and in how I choose to navigate love and romance. And I just feel like I think of queerness as this, as kind of like a radical otherness. So not just other, but like other, and it's also politically loaded. So for me, that's what queer is. And that's why I identify as queer. That's why queer resonates with me, because queer is a politically charged term. It is a loaded term, but I embrace all of that when I think about how it applies to me. I think I am queer. Like I recognize I'm queer in my politics. I'm queer in my sexual orientation. I'm queer in my, in the concept of my gender, like, or how my gender like manifests or whatever. I'm queer in just like my love style in general. So I think that queerness, permeates my existence. I am just like, I can't escape it. I'm just queer as fuck. So yeah, that's that. So to me, that was something that's interesting to me to even like think, to listen back to the promo and then be like, that term, this whole concept of queerness is even broader to me, or encompasses more for me than it even did like in that moment when I did the promo. Now for me personally, because it already encompassed a lot of stuff when I think about other people. But for my own personal journey, it definitely encompasses more. And I feel like I'm more queer now than I was when I first launched the podcast. If it's even possible, I don't know if I can be more queer. I'm queer as fuck, so I don't know if I can increase my queerness, if I'm doubly queer, if I've leveled up in my queerness. But yeah, your girl is queer as hell. So yeah, but anyway, so it does kind of, I feel like I have a fuller perspective or a fuller picture of what queerness is over the time of me doing this. But it's interesting to me because, like, you know, moving on from that, I think back to, you know, doing that promo and just really having, these expectations or kind of like these hopes for what I wanted the podcast to do, who I wanted it to reach, the impact I wanted to have, and like, you know, the people who I want to listen to it, and the way that I wanted it to manifest as a vessel, as a vehicle for the voices of folks, particularly Black queer folks, Black trans folks, folks who are often the least heard or just totally unheard. Over the course of this last year and a half, or close to a year and a half, I have had nearly 40 different guests on, and I've had some repeat offenders because I have a ton of episodes, but overall, it's been about 40 different guests. We have talked about a range of topics. We talked about work and career. We've talked about school. We've talked about coming out, you know, several times, and just even having to come out multiple times in your lifetime. So we've talked about that. We've talked about family and kind of family dynamics. We talked about grief. We've talked about being an empath. We've talked about mental health issues, politics, sex, marriage, polyamory. Y'all love y'all some poly episodes. And we talked about music. We talked about pop culture and current events and craziness going on in the news. We've talked about Black trans women specifically, all kinds, like cases going on in the courts. Like, we have covered such a range of topics in the last year and some change. And I absolutely feel like it has surpassed my, even like my, I guess, vision for, I mean, it's just some stuff I never could have imagined, I guess is the best way to put it. I never could have assumed or imagined some of the conversations that we've been able to have through this podcast, because I just didn't think about it. I knew what I wanted to talk about, but what I wanted to do was to help amplify, you know, voices that are often silenced. And so in that, that leaves a lot of room for different things to come out, because I don't know everything that someone's going to say when I bring them on the show. Now, I do show outlines and, I talk to guests about like, hey, you know, kind of this is kind of what we're thinking about for this episode, or what are you comfortable sharing? But I also don't, it's not scripted. So I don't say, oh, you can't talk about this. I'm like, you're free to talk about what you want to talk about. It's up to you, because it's your story, your voice. I am just here as a facilitator, as a listener, and as a supporter of you and you sharing this. So that means that, like, in this process, some things have come to light or some things have come up that I never could have anticipated, which I think is beautiful, because it allows me to facilitate this podcast, but also learn from it so that I don't get bored or I don't become the sole voice. It is my baby. And I also am having to like accept my role in terms of how people perceive me or receive is a better word. So what I mean by that is listeners, like I get contacted by listeners, and a lot of times what listeners contact me about are episodes that are just me or episodes that include other people, but they may like mention something I said, and people, they reach out to me about like my individual impact. And it's honestly something, y'all, that like, I hopefully it doesn't sound crazy, but it's something I'm still having to get comfortable with. I'm still having to really like get comfortable with being seen as like a certain type of figure. And I ain't big like that. I'm not saying like that, but to my audience, based on the feedback that I get from y'all, like y'all really rock with me. So, you know, the way that people, like when I have folks on who come on as a guest and they're like a listener and they say like, oh, they're a fan, that shit still blows my mind. I'm like, me, I'm a regular ass person. Like, you're a fan, you know, or if they're kind of like flustered or just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. That is, I'm not used to that. Like that hasn't fully clicked for me. It is something that I am not used to. So, you know, when I set out to do this, I wasn't trying to put like a big spotlight on myself. I very much wanted to amplify other people's voices. And over the course of, so I never even anticipated doing solo episodes. That was not really a game plan. Like, that was kind of like, I guess if I have to, I'll think about it. But that was not my plan at all. And when I had to do one out of necessity, the feedback that I got from it, I was like, okay, I guess I should do more of these, because I got a really good response. And I have consistently been getting really good responses from you all when I do my solo episodes where I'm just venting and ranting about some shit, where I'm doing a social media roundup or a news roundup, where I'm just literally giving y'all my thought process on different things that are happening, or just telling y'all about my personal experiences and stuff. Those are some of the most listened to episodes. And those are the ones that I get a lot of feedback. Those are the ones that, you know, where people are in my inbox, you know, so I'm still having to acclimate to that. Like, it honestly surprises me, because I didn't see myself being received that way. It's really interesting too, because, you know, a lot of times in person, people tell me I'm intimidating. It's very weird. I get either I'm intimidating or people tell me all their business. So I feel like it's the extremes or whatever, but, yeah, I get told all kind of stuff, but those are the main thing is I get told I'm intimidating. So it's very interesting to me that, like, you know, as being someone who is perceived as intimidating, and then I do this podcast and I get a lot of responsiveness and receptiveness to me, and people are receptive to the guests too. So it ain't all about me, but I'm just saying I didn't anticipate the level of receptiveness to me as an individual. I didn't anticipate my voice being so prevalent, even though I'm the host. I still did not really see myself being in like a primary role as like a storyteller or like me sharing my voice specifically. I saw myself as being a facilitator. I would help share other people's voices first and foremost. And then like mine here and there as I engage with these other people, but not mine as like a primary thing. And the way that the podcast has played out, it really is a combination and is kind of equal. I, you know, get to talk to guests, they get to share their stories. And I also share a lot with you all to where, you know, it is a lot of my voice is just crazy. Like, it's just like with the podcast, I did not intend to have my face as the logo. It was a placeholder. Like I have very limited skills. I was like, hey, this is a picture. I can like, you know, change it, edit it so that it's not just a straight up selfie or a straight up picture of me, but I can like, you know, make do with this until I can get something that'll be better. And I just haven't changed the logo. So yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's just ended up BRQ ended up being more about me than I thought it would. And it also, but it while still being able to like share the stories of other people. And I really did not see myself being in the forefront at all. And now it's kind of like I stand side by side with my guests. Like my guests get to share their stories. I tell y'all a bunch of stuff. Y'all ask me questions. I respond, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just been very interesting to me to see the progression and the growth and the trajectory. Yeah, that word of the podcast. So that's interesting to me. So yeah, that's what it has looked like so far coming up for the podcast. So like I told y'all before, like I have a lot of goals and stuff, a lot of things I want to do with BRQ. And I've been having some kind of like opportunities to come speak at different places being extended to me. I taught at a conference recently, in October. And then I was just asked to be on a panel early next year. So I'll circle back with more info about that once I get, once some things are finalized with that. But yeah, and then I have like some stuff in the works where I really want to get out and about more and be able to talk to folks in person and, you know, all of that. So those opportunities are starting to come my way. So I'm excited about that because I don't want for BRQ to just be, an audio thing. Like I want to be able to talk to folks in person. I want to record live. I want to continue to have the conversations in person. Like I want to, let's say if it's like a school or something, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna come to your university and we're gonna have this little roundtable discussion about, you know, what it is, what you're going through navigating being a Black queer person on your campus. Are there resources for you? Are there, you know, is there support for you? Or do you feel like an anomaly? Those kind of things. Even in the workplace or whatever, I want to be able to go to different spaces and have these conversations in real time in person because these things impact us in real time. These are the things that impact our daily lives. And I want to be able to come talk to y'all, the folks who are listening and everything. Like I want to come out and talk to y'all because I want to be able to have that real time conversation. Like it's one thing for me to record and then I get to see your comments and respond that way. But I want to be able to have that exchange similar to like, you know, when I have a guest on and we can have a conversation, I want to be able to have that, you know, with folks who may not feel comfortable coming on as a guest, but we can still have the conversation and I can still be able to have that exchange with you. And I think it's really important because that's what makes BRQ, you know, it's those stories, it's those conversations, knowing that you're not alone and that you, you know, someone else can relate to your experience and all of that, that like we're in this together. I think it's so important. So yeah. Ooh, okay. I've been talking. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens with the podcast as it continues. Yeah. I'm probably by the time this episode drops, I will be at 21K. I'm just shy of 21K as of today. When I tell you like I'm probably 30 downloads away from 21K. So, a lot of times I do get kind of like a little influx of downloads right before the next episode drops. So maybe by the time you're listening to this, I'll be at 21K probably. So, yeah. So because of y'all, I got from 10K to 21K in a matter of months. It's just crazy in about 5 months. So that means that the audience is continuing to grow. The numbers reflect that. So that is dope. So yeah, it's just like my random thoughts and reflections and stuff like that. I do have some ideas for some more episodes that I want to bring y'all. I mentioned on the last episode, because I talked about very like kind of my personal stuff with my mental health, and you already know, like I'm not shy about acknowledging my mental health stuff, and I share with y'all. But you know, I was saying that I wanted to have people give their feedback from their perspective on what it's like, you know, dealing with my ass. And so I do want to still bring that episode to y'all. Of course, I got to coordinate with people, but I'm gonna coordinate with my folks and see, you know, when they can. Maybe I can just do like little clips with them or something. We're gonna figure that out, because I want to know for myself, but I also want to, you know, bring that transparency to y'all as well. And and I have some other stuff I want to do too. So those episodes be coming up. I'm working on coordinating with folks so I can get all that stuff recorded and bring it to you and all that good stuff. So yeah, I think I'm done for real. This is a shorter episode, but it's really just me acknowledging the growth of the podcast, because I did not do my 20K episode. It just totally slipped by. I was busy as hell. So yeah, and now here I am almost 1,000 downloads later trying to catch up, but I want to acknowledge it because it's, at least to me, it's an important milestone, and it's a milestone that of course is not possible without y'all. So that's why I want to tell y'all, like that's why I do these things, so that you all will know too, so I can kind of keep you in the loop of what's going on with this, you know, y'all tuning in to my crazy self, and you know, so I want you to know what impact that has. Okay, so that's where we're at now. And yeah, I know I said I was done, so I'm gonna be done for real now. So thank y'all for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the BRQ family. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. I need to come up with a name for y'all. So some of y'all may not know, but I used to do like vlogs, like YouTube vlogs. I was never big or important or nothing like that. So please. But I watch those as well. And I also like listen to other podcasts. And I noticed that like on some of these, on some of this media, these folks, they have like names for their listeners or for their audience. And I actually really like that. I think it's cute as hell. I would love to have a name for my listeners. I don't have a name for y'all. I've been trying to think about like name, but I just have no idea. So I need y'all suggestions on what do you want to be called? Like, what I'm gonna call y'all as a group? Like, what is the collective that listens to Black Radical Queer Podcast? Who y'all? What's the name for y'all? I have no idea. So help a sister out. So, because I don't know y'all. I've been racking my brain trying to think of something, and I got nothing. So help me out, okay? So yeah, but I do want to have a name for y'all, so I can be like, yeah, shout out to my. Anyway, yeah, I want to have a name for y'all. So if you have any suggestions, they would be appreciated. And then I don't know, maybe I'll just like compile them and let folks vote, or I'll just choose the one I like the best. I don't know. We'll work that out. I think I would like for y'all to vote, see what people agree on the most, but I think that'll be cool. So, all right. Now I said I was done like 50 times, but I am done this time. I just remembered something that I needed to, you know, mention. So I wanted to throw that in there. Anyway, thank you for listening to another episode of Black Radical Queer Podcast. For those of you who do not know, I am on Patreon. So it's patreon.com, patreon.com/blackradqueer, BLKRADQWR. And on Patreon, you can become a patron at there's a different levels. Shout out to my current patrons. Y'all some real ones. So yeah, I'm very appreciative of that, because I have a few patrons currently, and their contributions are helping me to continue doing this, you know, because, you know, we got costs for stuff. So I appreciate that. But you can always go check it out if you want to support. You can also support with like a one-time contribution, so you can do that on Venmo or Cash App. It's Black Rad Queer across the board, BLKRADQWR, everywhere. And then also what helps is sharing. So if you know, listen to the podcast, you like a particular episode, or you just like it in general, share a link, you know, to the podcast with a friend, a family member. They can't be somebody who's like prudish or if they don't like cussing, because y'all know I be cussing and shit. So if they have a problem with that, then that ain't gonna work. But if not, then yeah, share them with your people, all your queer people, and your folks who may just be receptive to the queerness, whatever. Share with them so they can get in on this. They can listen to it too. Y'all can talk about it. Yeah, share on your social media, tag me, all that good stuff. All right, but for real, I'm done for real. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, I am out.
Black Radical Queer is a Main Hustle Media podcast hosted by Javia Nicole. BRQ is produced and edited by Charmaine Fury, and the show's theme music was created by The Brothers Records. You can connect with us on Twitter or Instagram at Black Rad Queer. That's BLKRADQWR. You can also connect with us on Facebook through the Black Radical Queer Podcast Facebook fan page or the BRQ discussion group. You can get Black Rad Queer merch on teespring.com/BlackRadQueer, BLKRADQWR. And you can leave a voicemail, call in, ask a question, those types of things on the BRQ Google Voice line. And that number is 937-601-8647.
Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.